Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your title with Blues Alley.
Harry Schnipper. I'm the owner and executive director.
And we're talking because I know throughout the pandemic, many music venues closed because there couldn't be live music for a while. And we even at TOP, we even did a couple stories about how Blues Alley was, was sort of just barely hanging on. But it sounds like you made it through. So tell our listeners, how excited you are that you just reopened.
We've been very active for the past year and a half. We've been streaming and programming from the National Press Club in downtown Washington, D.C. When they lifted the live music moratorium in mid-June, we pivoted to live entertainment as well. So we've pretty much survived in light of the fact that the COVID created a certain difficulties. But then again, national acts aren't touring, so it wasn't really pressing for us to do so.
Right. So just to remind us, you were doing the virtual streaming stuff. I remember seeing that, those shows popping up on your website throughout the pandemic. Let's take it one at a time. What you just said, the virtual stuff was filmed at the National Press Club. Like how did that whole setup work? Like, was that sort of like, all right, the world's in crisis mode, we're going to figure out something? And how did you set up that recording space?
Threefold. One is I'm a member. Two, the broadcast studios were vacant. And three, I haven't seen this much musical talent in Washington, D.C. in half a century. So I thought I would simply promote the local musicianship. And we did so successfully in a series of partnerships with the Voice of America, United Nations, the Herbie Hancock Institute, the Ella Fitzgerald Foundation, and countless other organizations like the National Cherry Blossom Festival. And we just broadcast it around the world, and it was very successful.
Great. And then take me into the next part of that you mentioned, that I guess in June you officially opened the doors back, in the space we all know and love in Georgetown. That was in June?
No, that would continue to be at the National Press Club, but we ultimately made a concerted effort to try and roll out a very concise and comprehensive music program. And I can honestly say that we'll be broadcasting here from Blues Alley and providing live entertainment on a limited capacity, 50% seating. And we have all the COVID protocols in place, including proof of vaccination and social distancing. And for the next 4 weeks, we'll be highlighting local musicianship every Thursday through Sunday. And then in mid-October, we launch our national acts finally. We're bringing in guitar virtuoso Stanley Jordan, rhythm and blues vocalist Gene Karn, seven-string guitar wonder John Pizzarelli. We're bringing in Latin jazz pianist Eddie Palmieri in the first week of November. Then we pivot to South African vocalist and guitarist Jonathan Butler. And then we continue to roll out performances and culminating on New Year's with Jamaican pianist Monty Alexander. So we're literally reworking all of our previous performers.
Wow, that's a cool lineup, and very cool that, the next one kicking it all off is going to be Stanley Jordan. We talked to him a couple weeks ago, and I knew his music, but I had no idea that he actually recorded some of the startup music for, the big dung that hits when you turn your Mac laptop on. Macintosh, Apple had him record some of the startup music with his guitar.
Yeah, he is an ambidextrous guitarist who is capable of working both the frets with both hands simultaneously.
Oh yeah, it's wild. Wait, so cool. Well, so you said that'll be Thursday through Sunday. So it'll be like 4 days in a row of live music in the space, in the actual Blues Alley Georgetown space. 50% capacity, obviously. So when did that specific thing start? Was that just this past week?
Just this past weekend, it was, I called up some friends of ours, Verano, and they said they'd come in. And then starting tonight, Thursday, September 23rd, for four nights, we've got the Dave Klein Band, who is a violin virtuoso, and he's going to be joined on vocals and harmonica by Senator Tim Kaine. And then next weekend, we've got Michael Bowie and Marshall Keys with Federico Pena and Mark Prince doing a quartet, a jazz quartet. And then over the Columbus Day holiday weekend, we've got four wonderful vocalists who will be performing on an all diva weekend.
Wow, that's going to be cool. And then, so then when is the Stanley Jordan show then? So all this is before the Stanley Jordan show.
Yeah, I believe it's October 16th through 19th.
Gotcha.
No, October 14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th. That's what it is.
Gotcha, gotcha. Cool, cool. Your guys' reopening sort of hit me out of the blue, and I was really excited to see that news come across because I think we interviewed, Chris Ross, who's not there anymore, I know, but and he was saying, I guess what, back in like February or something, he was saying that the building was like up for sale or, you know, he wasn't sure if it would get sold or whatever. But I guess how dire did it get during the pandemic? Was there ever a time that you thought you maybe it would close or did you always know you would reopen at some point?
The operative question there, the operative statement in question was, you interviewed Chris Ross, but he's not a spokesperson and he hasn't been under our employ for 18 months. And he was probably, you know, as my executive assistant said to me, Ms. Steele, she said, until you hear it from Mr. Schnipper, it is not true. NPR came to us and said, we have heard a rumor that you might be closing and we'd like to interview you. And I said, I'm sorry, I don't have anything to add to that. There's no, I don't intend to be interviewed or mentioned or quoted. And they said, well, we're going to run with this article regardless. And they ran with it and it caused great disruption, both personally as well as professionally across the industry. And within 48 hours, I had them take it down, but that was too late. So the simple answer, Mr. Fraley, is rumors of our, paraphrase Mark Twain, rumors of our demise have been greatly exaggerated.
Nice. Well, I'm glad that that's the case. I'm glad that you stayed open and survived this.
Well, the operative word here, and people keep saying it. I said, you know, we were in an 18-month pandemic, and the difference is the word closed versus closing. We had to close because of we were closing because of a global pandemic. We did not close our business.
Right. You were still doing those shows at Press Club, like you mentioned. And like every other venue, you had to find new ways. So, did all the other venues that were doing streaming stuff, did we say that they were closing for good? No. You know,
right,
you were just
exactly.
Finding new ways. Yeah, exactly.
Right. No, I do. I pioneered new broadcasting. We have upgraded. We've refurbished the club. Blues Alley has been totally refurbished. We did all the plumbing and the electrical. We spent the summer upgrading our audio and video capabilities. And we have nothing but optimism going forward. And I've got a full schedule and we're going to roll it out on October 1st.
Cool. So you're when you say roll it out October 1st, you're saying that's sort of what you're considering like the national acts and before that, what are you considering these more just local acts what's your distinction when you say we're going to roll it out October 1st?
The distinction is really simple. I told my staff that, first of all, you got to realize that there's a supply chain disruption.
Sure.
There is a hospitality employee shortage, and there are no national acts touring. So my decision was to let's go ahead and program for 4 days a week for four consecutive weeks, and then let's see how our audience receives that. And then based upon that, we'll know how many days a week we should be open, how many people we should be seating, and just exactly how we should go ahead and place the advanced seats on sale. So I'm planning right now to be open 5 days a week in October, maybe six in November, and hopefully seven in December.
Really cool. Now, a big picture for me, you know, remind us when did you actually start at Blues Alley? I mean, I know the building itself was like built in the 1800s, this old brick carriage house, literally in an alleyway. It's kind of, the title's fitting. But it actually became a music club in what, 1965? Is that right? Just remind us the history of when it opened and when you got involved.
Well, I started in 1965, and I'm 104 years old, Mr.
What is it, like Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner?
That's great. Man. Exactly. You're old enough to know that. The club was started in 65. I acquired it 25 years ago, a quarter century ago.
Gotcha.
I'm the third of three owners.
Gotcha.
We're America's oldest continuously operated jazz supper club.
It's amazing. And talk about
56 years.
And a lot has changed in the Georgetown music scene in those years, right? You used to have all those great venues, Cellar Door and all those, the Bayou, all those famous ones. But what's it, how special is it to you to have, you know, lived through that, seen all that, and be sort of the last one standing?
I am a half glass full kind of guy. And my recollection, having grown up here, is that Georgetown was like Bourbon Street in New Orleans. And you couldn't roll a bowling ball without hitting one club after another. And frankly, I'm hoping that this new post-pandemic economic landscape will expand the number of venues available, because I haven't seen this much musical talent in half a century. And my feeling is that we're not going to have enough venues. So I've been talking to the deputy mayor of the District of Columbia about the prospect of installing an arts overlay district to attract more operators to present more live music.
That would be great. You know, I mean, well, after the Spanish flu, there was the whole Roaring Twenties. So maybe after all this, you know, gets back to normal, maybe there will be a flourishing of music venues.
There will be. I do believe Washington, D.C. is a very unique economy. And that the recent announcement this week by the Biden administration to lift the international traveler moratorium is going to have a significant benefit to the Washington, D.C. economy. And I think by Christmas, people are going to really want to get out and celebrate not the end of the pandemic per se, but certainly the feeling that they can be unified in public spaces once again.
Gotcha.
People are now starving for live music, Mr. Fraley.
Oh, they really are. They really are. I'm with you. I hear you. Well, speaking of that, you know, everyone's starving for live music. What, you know, remind them what makes, you know, and we're a radio station, so you're going to have to sort of paint a visual picture with your words if you can. But remind our listeners when they come into Blues Alley, maybe they've been there a million times or maybe they've never been there, but remind them. What makes it such a special, intimate, historic vibe when you enter that space?
What makes it so inspiring is that we offer concert-sized performances in a small, intimate space that you share with others. And I often say that what makes Blues Alley unique amongst its peers is the atmosphere that we've created. And I believe that if these walls could talk, you'd hear half a century's worth of stories from so many fabled artists who have performed here, from Ella Fitzgerald and Tony Bennett to Wynton Marsalis, countless artists in between who have graced the Blues Alley stage, of which I'm actually sitting on right now.
Oh, nice. You're actually talking with us on Zoom. On your actual stage.
That's correct.
Technology's great. But yeah, you mentioned it, Ella Fitzgerald and Wynton Marsalis and Tony Bennett. And gosh, there's been a million. Dizzy Gillespie. You've had a ton of people there. Well, I mean, I guess thanks for joining us. Is there anything else we should know in terms of, you know, you coming back out here, you know, how is it might be maybe different post-pandemic than before, or is it pretty much the same? I mean, I guess if you reevaluated, I mean, obviously the safety protocols, you've already talked to that, but is there any other changes you've done since then? Any other lessons that you've implemented over this, you know, nice hiatus here?
I think two things that people need to remember, that it was just a few short weeks ago, last month, when the FDA approved the coronavirus vaccine, and two, that the Biden administration and the Bowser administration here in Washington mandated that all federal and municipal employees be vaccinated. And so that was pretty much the litmus test in terms of reopening our club, because we reopened 18 months to the day. And frankly, I foresee that we're going to all be wanting to get our toes wet. We're just waiting for our peers to get their toes wet first. So once the buzz goes out and people say, oh yes, I went to Blues Alley, I think we're going to start to catch some traction. And I think that people will begin to venture out of their houses. But you know, right now there's no workers, there's no visitors, there's no tourists in Washington, D.C. And Blues Alley is entirely dependent upon the local population to support us.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we'll get the word out with this piece, and you know, hopefully people will start coming back out for these, you know, 4 weeks of four nights a week shows.
They're trickling in. Our phones are open. You can call us at 202-337-4141 or visit us online at bluesalley.com. More than happy to support our local audiences and artists alike.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Harry. It was great catching up with you and hearing that those reports of your demise are greatly exaggerated. Great quote.
That's correct. And I tell people, Mr. Fraley, I'm the horse's mouth, and you're hearing me give the Blues Alley whinny that it's time to come home.
I can't top that. Perfect place to leave it. Hey, thank you, sir. I really appreciate you joining us.
Okay, indeed. Thanks so much. And thank you for having me today.